I won't tell you any story about my experiences now, but Thursday week we're having a special service to do that, as Alec announced this morning. And I hope you'll be able to come to that. Thursday week I'm going to talk about my own personal experience and the miracles God has done for me, and talk about healing in general terms from the scriptures. That's Thursday week. Now, we read the scriptures together from Exodus 14. This is what I plan to do in the 2 or 3 weeks I'm with you, to give a series on the wilderness exploits and enjoyment of the land. Wilderness exploits and enjoying the land, and all that that may mean. If that doesn't mean much to you at the moment, well, I hope it will by the time I go. I, as Alex said, I give you a good word sometimes, but it's because I preach the word, and it's the word that's good. That's what gets through to our hearts and brings us God's blessing. And I always felt that you people here in Shirley Heights are so good to God's servants, to Bill and Elsie and me, and not forgetting my wife, she's somewhere around as well, and God's servants generally, that we feel we've got to give you all that we can get from the Lord for you, but it's always from His Word. God's Word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And because it is living, it is life-giving. Only that which is living is life-giving, can be life-giving. And the Word of God is life-sustaining as well. And I'm delighted to see, Alec, I'm delighted to see such a lovely crowd at your Bible class today. It's growing. I haven't been here for 20 months. And it's growing, and it should grow. So much so that the preacher is pushed right back into the other room. It should grow, because the Word of God is needed. We all need it. We need it regularly. And we have a great opportunity to get some of it on a Sunday morning at this time. We'll read Exodus 14, verse 13. Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Why do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 19, The angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So the angel of the Lord was their advance guard, went before the camp, and the angel of the Lord was their rear guard as well. So they were safe in between. May the Lord bless to us that short reading from His precious word, for His name's sake. Amen. Now, I wanted to talk to you during these few days we are together about going forward and going on with the Lord. Today it is go forward in faith and obedience, crossing over the Red Sea, from death to life. And then this evening, God willing, go forward in His victory. And then from chapter 15, go forward in his will. And then from chapter 17, go forward with my Savior, or following my Savior leader. That's Joshua. And go forward at the trumpet sound. All these are very significant, I feel. And go forward from Sinai. This should be a special message for Seventh-day Adventists. If you have any friends along that line, bring them along. They'd be interested. Go forward from Sinai. You've hung around here too long, the Lord says. Go forward and get a move on. And go forward in willing bondage is another subject. And go forward in holiness, following the Ark of the Covenant. And go forward at my command according to Urim and Thummim. Now, some of that might seem a little strange to you, but I think perhaps you'll understand a little more later on. Now, we're at the beginning of a new year, and I would wish you all, it's a bit late in the day, or late in the year, wish you every blessing for the new year, a happy, very happy new year. And I want to not only wish you that, but promise you a happy new year if you will do what we are exhorted to do in the word this morning. Go forward at the Lord's command, and go forward in his will. And the word says in Joshua 3, you have not passed this way before. Well, we all know that. We've never lived through the whole of 1987 before, have we? So this is new ground to us. And God wants to lead us on a new way in this new year, and he wants us to follow where he leads. I was just going to look that up for a second in Joshua. Oh, there must be a space between you and the Ark of the Covenant that goes before you. There must be a space, because you don't know which way to go. It's a new way. So when it goes to the right, you go to the right. When it goes to the left, you turn left. When it goes straight on, you go straight on. So they went through Jordan, following the Ark of the Covenant. When they got the other side, it didn't turn right nor left, and neither did it go straight on. Do you know what happened? It went half right and landed up at Shiloh, and they followed all the way. As we shall see later, the Ark of the Covenant denotes the divine presence. But this is a new way. As 1987 is a new year for us, with new experiences, new trials, new appreciation of the Lord Jesus should be one of our main aims for this new year. It's a new year, a new way. It is God's way. We follow the Ark of the Covenant, which always denotes his presence. It's a way of holiness. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So it is a way of wonders. It's a way of miracles as well. We hope to talk about that. And it is a way of victory. And when the children of Israel went forward in the wilderness journey, Moses used to stand up and pray in a morning. I don't know whether they bowed their heads and put their hands together, but his morning prayer was very short, but very significant. And he used to say, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And all the people said, "Amen," and they entered into God's victory every day along the way to the promised land. He overcame their enemies, which were incidentally his enemies as well. So it was a way of victory, and it was a way of deliverance, finally, from the carnality of the wilderness. Now, when I say that, perhaps I ought to explain. As you know, Egypt stands for the world, represents the world, doesn't it, in our thinking? And they were down and out in the world, so to speak, in Egypt. The Passover represents salvation from judgment. And the Red Sea crossing represents passing from death into life. And the wilderness wandering of 38 years, notice I say 38 years, not 40, the wilderness wandering of 38 years after the turning back from Kadesh Barnea, when they should have gone into the land, but they didn't exercise faith, so they wandered in the wilderness, that represents Christian carnality and failure. And there's a lot of it about in my life, maybe your life as well, and we want to understand the way out of that through Jordan into the promised land for the people of God. Not that we're all going to commit suicide as one group attempted to do in South America a few years ago, because crossing Jordan doesn't mean that, or entering Canaan doesn't mean entering heaven either. Crossing Jordan is a type, a picture of, represents dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine. Experiential acquaintance with him in his death. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Or like he said to you by the Spirit, this is Paul saying to you by the Spirit, you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then if crossing Jordan represents that, then Canaan represents Christ in all his fullness now, for all those who by faith will dive into Jordan and say no to themselves and yes to him and make him Lord of their lives. Indeed, the moment they get there, they find that he's the very life of their lives. And that is a picture of Canaan. Well, you say to me, I don't agree with you, brother, because... And it's not the first time I've disagreed with you, brother, you say to me. Because, you see, the hymn says, when we cross the river or something, land me safe on Canaan's shore. Well, Jordan must be a type of dying, death of the body, and Canaan, heaven. Well, now, I know the hymn says that. As a matter of fact, on one of the first copies, there was a misprint. And it said this, land my safe on Canaan's shore. And somebody had to tell the editor that you can't take your money with you. You've got to leave it behind when you go. However, all hymnology is not theology, as someone has rightly said. And, you know, in Canaan, there were God's enemies. In Canaan, there were wicked people whose iniquity was full. In Canaan, there were fightings. In Canaan, there was failure. How can all that be a picture of heaven? That's not the heaven I'm going to. It's going to be glorious. Only glory by and by, as the hymn writer has said. So the word today is, speak unto the children of Israel, or speak unto my people, that's you and me, that they go forward. Well, we've already started going forward into the new year. Have you got on in the last few days? Has it been victory? If we talk about the new year and living unto him and going forth after him, we must think of the past. Hasn't God helped us in 1986 at all? Haven't we had any personal victories and special blessings and miracles in our lives? Well, you know, after a victory that the children of Israel had over their enemies, Samuel, God's prophet, he built up a kind of stone edifice and he called it Ebenezer. And he said, the Lord's given us the victory. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. He gave all the glory to God. And he put a stone there to mark the place where they got the blessing and the victory. Now, if I gave you a nice white stone, about as big as an ostrich's egg, you know, just about I could hold it in my hand, and I said, now that stone is a beautiful white unmarked stone. It's a very precious stone, although it's only a stone. And what's the significant part, the most significant part is this, is where you put it. I want you to do what God's servant Samuel did. Put that white stone at the place, or if you like, write on it the very date where God gave you personal victory, where you found deliverance in your life, when the miracle happened for you in 1986, if I gave you a stone like that, where would you put it? What date would you write on it? That's what Samuel did. He put the stone there. He said, Ebenezer, the Lord has blessed us. And this is where he gave us the victory. So the future, I was going to say, if there has been a henceforth, as we take the retrospective view, henceforth as the Lord helped us, then there should be, we are morally bound to bring into our experience, a hitherto. Henceforth, to this point, and now hitherto, onwards, as we go forward with the Lord. There was a Church of England evangelical young people's movement some years ago, and it was a very, very good work of God. It was called the Crusaders. I don't mean the Crusader Union, but they were called Crusaders, and it was an evangelical Anglican work, and they had as their motto this word from 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth unto him. What a lovely motto for young people and young Christians who found Christ and are wanting to go on with the Lord and go forward with him day by day. Henceforth, up to December the 31st, henceforth, put the stone there. That's where God gave us the blessing. Now, hitherto, and henceforth, from January the 1st onwards, henceforth unto him. We must live unto him henceforth, who died for us and rose again. For if he died for all, then all died in him, as Conybeare and Howson puts it from the Greek in their translation. If Christ died for all, then all who trust him died in him. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Henceforth unto him. So the future lies before you like a plain of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. There's only one thing for us to do, and that is go forward at his command, in his strength, for his commands are his enablings. He'll give you the strength to do it. Seek his face day by day. Look up to him and rest in him at the beginning of the day, and in his faithfulness, in his almightiness, and stake it all upon his promises, and he will certainly see you through. When we left England on Thursday, it was very white. But it wasn't a plain of driven snow, as I've just quoted the poet, but it was all frost and ice. And it was dreadful, absolutely dreadful. So thank you very much for inviting me to the Bahamas. Makes a nice change for that kind of thing. I'm sure you wouldn't want to go there in the wintertime. You wouldn't survive. It's just terrible. And every day they're talking about giving more money to the old age pensioners so they can get not more food but more heat in their homes, because hundreds die every winter through the cold alone, you see. And that's what they need, more warmth. They keep talking about it, but they never do anything. That's the only problem. However, thank God we have the Lord with us as we go forward in his name. I did notice through the window of the plane coming over on Thursday afternoon that North America was covered with snow. The North American states, it might have been Newfoundland, it might have been southern Canada up there somewhere, but as we got halfway down the country, the snow disappeared. That's what we like to see. So the word is go. Go forward. God always has wanted his people to go. As I said, when they got to Sinai, he said, don't stay here. Go. You've stopped here long enough. Go. And God wants us to stop doing what we are doing sometimes and go forward. Take the next step in his will. I was reading to you in Exodus 14, and God says there, stop grumbling and stop your praying and go forward. There are times in our Christian lives when we have to even stop praying and go and do what God has told us to do. He said, why do you call upon me? Why do you cry to me? God said to Moses, just go forward. Do what I told you to do. And why are the people grumbling so much about what they have now and what they used to have in Egypt? You go forward and see what there is before you. So the word is, go forward and stop grumbling and stop praying. On occasion, stop praying. I say that advisedly and very, very carefully. There are times when God wants us to give up seeking his face and do what is already revealed to us that we must do in our Christian lives. But the word is forward. Go forward. It was Livingstone who used to say, when Mr. Davis shook hands with me at the door this morning, he said, good morning, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. But he was quite wrong. My name's Clifford. But Dr. Livingstone, do you know what he said? He said, I'll go anywhere as long as it is forward. You know, the most miserable person or persons on the face of the earth are those who are not going forward with God, those who are going backward and are backsliding in heart. Ever so easy to start backsliding in heart. I wouldn't be at all surprised in a lovely congregation like this is this morning, there are a few who unfortunately can't put a stone on the place of victory in 1986 because they know very well they started backsliding in heart. Don't go backward. God says, speak unto my people that they go forward. Now, in Birmingham, there's a railway station, the main one, called New Street Station. And at the other side of the station is Station Street. And somebody said to another chap who was inquiring, he said, if you want to get to Shirley, he said, you must go to the bus station at the other side of New Street Station, which is Station Road. And he said, And he said, you want to get on an all-green bus. So he made a note of it and went across the bridge. And he got to where the buses were. And there were blue buses and yellow buses and red buses. And he waited and waited. And there wasn't an all-green bus at all. So he said to a conductor on the bus, he said, when do the all-green buses come? He says, where do you want to go to? He says, Shirley. He says, well, you don't want an all-green bus. He says, you want a whole-green bus. The bus that goes through whole-green. Anyway, this other chap, but I'm asked by the way, there's no spiritual significance there that I can think of at the moment, but there might be. But this other chap, this lady, she was at this very spot, and she got on, wanted to go to Shirley, and it said at the front of the bus, Hall Green, you see? And she didn't know whether to get on or what to do, but she was half on and half off. And she said to the conductor, she said, I want to go to Shirley. And on the front of the bus, it says, no, she said, I want to go to Hall Green. On the front of the bus, it says Shirley. She said, I don't know whether to get on this bus or not. He said, madam, get on quick. I want to press the bell and go forward. This bus doesn't go sideways, it goes forward. And he wanted her to go by what it said at the front of the bus. Now, God wants us to go forward. I think maybe we've been marking time too long. We ought to do some exploits for God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And the word was go forward. But somebody might have said, Moses, half a minute, don't you know that if we start moving, the enemy will know all about it, and the enemy is all around us, following hard. Well, the word was, in spite of the enemy, go forward. Go forward and enjoy the Lord's victory. And if we go at his bidding, he will be our strength and stay, and day by day we can enter into his victory. You know, Christ has already overcome for us. Bill Gamble used to be one of the pilgrim preachers many years ago in my time with them. Many years ago, he used to say, friends, we're not on the winning side. We're on the side that's already won. For Christ, by dying, slew death, and him that had the power of death, the devil, to deliver us who are subject to bondage. So in spite of the enemy, go forward and enjoy his victory over the enemy, because you'll never get victory yourself. The enemy's too strong for you and me. Therefore, we have to go back to the cross every time, and to the empty tomb every time, and thank God that he did the work for our victory on the cross, and he overcame that we might enjoy his triumph. One brother in South Africa, well, mid to South Africa, was rejoicing in the fact that he was a Christian now, but he was complaining that all his friends were deserting him, and some of them were giving him a terrible time. And one of them said to him one day, Sam, we hear that you've been converted now. He said, yes, praise the Lord. And he said, we hear, Samuel, that you're going to heaven now. He said, well, not now, but yes, I'm on my way to heaven. Praise the Lord. He says, we hear, Samuel, that all your sins are forgiven you now. He says, yes, praise the Lord, they are. And he said, another thing we understand, Sam, is that now you have the victory over the devil. He said, oh, no, half a minute now, half a minute. He says, it isn't that I, she's got it wrong, it isn't that I have the victory over the devil, but I have the victor of the devil living in my heart. And that's the secret of personal victory, resting on the almightiness of our conquering Savior, because his victory at the cross was an eternal triumph. So in spite of the enemy, go forward. In spite of the Red Sea, they might have said, Moses, brother Moses, haven't you got any sense? If we take one step forward, we go right into the Red Sea and get drowned. Well, he would say to them, God said go forward, he must have meant it. So we'll have to go forward in faith, in his word, and see what happens. We will obey God at any cost. As a matter of fact, he had been saying this all along, because Pharaoh tried to dissuade them from doing God's will. And he said, you needn't worship God in the wilderness, worship him in the land. So Moses said no. And he said, well, if you want to worship God in the wilderness, you can. He said, but stop on the borderlands. Moses said no. He said, all right, if you don't want to stop on the borderlands, go as far as you like. But leave your wives and little ones behind. And Moses said, no fear. He said, all right, if you want to take your wives and your little ones and you're going to want them to go right out into the wilderness, you can go. But he said, you'll leave your business here, won't you? In Egypt, your cattle and your herds, leave your business here. He said, no fear. When we're going forward, we're going forward to do the Lord's will, and to do the Lord's will exclusively. And you know, when Moses made up his mind and told the people that, then the Lord did the rest. He gave them the victory and performed the miracle. It always happens that way. You remember when they were on the sea in Mark chapter 6, it is recorded. And there was a storm, and the Lord Jesus came walking on the waves, overcoming the very things that would overcome them. They took him into the boat eventually, and the moment he was in the boat, then the miracle happened. They were on the other side. So if we take the Lord on board, and if we are determined to do his will, there's no doubt he will see us through. He will give us the victory over the enemy. But they say, what about the Red Sea? Well, the Red Sea, as we know, parted. They took a step of faith. And instead of going into the sea and splashing about and choking and drowning, the Red Sea opened up before them. When Moses and his soldiers from Egypt's land did flee, their enemies behind them and in front of them the sea. God raised the waters like a wall and opened up their way. And the God who lived in Moses' time is just the same today. So go forward in spite of the sea, in spite of impossibilities, human impossibilities. Go forward in faith in him, in faith in his word, and see if he's not faithful, if he doesn't keep his word, if he doesn't do the miracle for you. And some would say, but Moses, if we go forward, there's not only the enemy to consider, and there's not only the sea, the Red Sea before us to consider, but there's the wilderness as well. Why, the other side, the Red Sea, there's miles and miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles of wilderness. It's terrible out there, Moses. Have you never been? They'd say, we can't go over the sea and just land in the wilderness like that. Who's going to provide for us? So the word was, in spite of impossibilities, in spite of testing, in spite of difficulty, in spite of the enemy, in spite of everything, go and do God's will and get a move on and go forward. And you stop your grumbling and get on with the march towards Canaan and the promised land. Now please remember, I told you that after 2 years or so, they got to the promised land, but they didn't enter in because they didn't believe that God could give them victory over the enemies in the land. They saw the giants, but only two saw the grapes. They saw the difficulties, but they didn't see God, the Almighty God, who's over and above all these things. And they wandered in the wilderness for 38 long years. And that speaks of the carnal believer. Now, there are not two types of people in the world. I might have said this before, some years ago. If I did say some years ago, it's time I said it again. So here it goes. There are not two types of people in the world, the saved and the lost. There are three types of people. There are those in Egypt, those who are in the world, those who are lost, first of all. Then there are those in Canaan who are enjoying Christ and his fullness now. Galatians 6:1, ye that are spiritual. Those who are enjoying the Christian life to the full and appreciate Christ and rest in his sufficiency. But there's another type. Those who for 38 years or more are living a life of carnality between the world and between the promised land. And it's through unbelief in the almightiness of God that they find themselves there. And they're forever longing for the world and what it can offer. Now this is a shame. This is a wicked shame for Christian people who've seen the almightiness of God and enjoyed his victory and have seen him part the waters and give them new life in Christ. It's a wicked shame for them to deny him and refuse to enter into the fullness that there is in Christ for the believer and go back to wander in this world, in this wilderness, longing all the time for the things of the world. Now is that you? Longing all the time for the things of the world. That is carnality. That's the third type of person. The lost, the spiritual, and the carnal. The carnal person does not, and indeed cannot, please God. And if you don't want to please God in 1987, it may be you need to be born again. I was going to say all over again. Well, you can't be born again twice. But if you have no spiritual desire in your soul to go on with God and obey his word and go forward in 1987, maybe you've never been born of God, born by his spirit at all. So what I must do is finish on a gospel note and say, Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty Saviour, can be your Saviour too. For that's what he died for on the cross, to save you. That's what he lives for on the throne, to save you. That's why he's here in the meeting, to save you, coming into your heart by his Spirit. The moment you quit your sin and trust in his atoning blood, and then go forward and try his works to do, as the hymn writer puts it. It's dead on 12 o'clock. Now that's pretty good for me. I think we ought to close with a short prayer, don't you think so? And ask God to give us grace to go forward. Lord, give us all grace to go forward with our Saviour going on before, the Holy Spirit within us, our need for 1987 and for all of time, as well as for all eternity, met through the Lord Jesus and his Spirit within. Teach us to go forward with thee today and every day this year, and until our Lord shall come again. For his name's sake. Amen.